This module has been developed by the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. The following content for this module was taken from the book A Basic Guide to Exporting, a product of the U.S. Commercial Service. This module was created in cooperation with the U.S. Commercial Service and the Michigan State University Center for International Business Education and Research. To view the full text version of each slide, click the Slide Notes tab in the upper left-hand corner below the MSU Cyber logo. You may pause the presentation at any time by pressing the Pause button below the slide. The glossary for this module is accessible via the Glossary tab at the top right corner.
In this module, we will cover an export pricing strategy, quotes and pro forma invoices, terms of sale, and a success story, alignment simple solution. Section 1. Export pricing strategy.
Pricing your product properly, giving complete and accurate quotations, choosing the terms of the sale, and selecting the payment method are four critical elements in selling a product or service overseas. Of the four, pricing can be the most challenging, even for an experienced exporter. These considerations will help you determine the best price for your product overseas. At what price should your firm sell its product in the foreign market? What type of market positioning, that is, customer perception, does your company want to convey from its pricing structure? Does the export price reflect your product's quality? Is the price competitive? What type of discount and allowances should your firm offer its foreign customers? Should prices differ by market segment? What should your firm do about product line pricing? What pricing options are available if your firm's costs increase or decrease? Is the demand in the foreign market elastic or inelastic? Is the foreign government going to view your prices as reasonable or exploitative? Do the foreign country's anti-dumping laws pose a problem? As in the domestic market, the price at which a product or service is sold directly determines your firm's revenues. It is essential that your company's market research include an evaluation of all the variables that may affect the price range for your product or service. If your firm's price is too high, the product or service will not sell. If the price is too low, export activities may not be sufficiently profitable or may actually create a net loss. The traditional components for determining proper pricing are costs, market demand, and competition. Each component must be compared with your company's objective in entering the foreign market. An analysis of each component from an export perspective may result in export prices that are different from domestic prices. It is also very important to take into account additional costs that are typically borne by the importer. These include tariffs, customs fees, currency fluctuation, transaction costs, and value-added taxes, or VATs for short. These costs can add substantially to the final price paid by the importer, sometimes resulting in a total that is more than double the price charged in the United States. U.S. products often compete better on quality, reputation, and service than they do on price, but buyers consider the whole package. An important aspect of your company's pricing analysis is the determination of market objectives. For example, you may ask whether your company is attempting to penetrate a new market, seeking long-term market growth, or looking for an outlet for surplus production or outmoded products. Marketing and pricing objectives may be generalized or tailored to particular foreign markets. For example, marketing objectives for sales to a developing nation, where per capita income may be one-tenth of that in the United States, are necessarily different than marketing objectives for sales to Europe or Japan. The actual cost of producing a product and bringing it to market is key to determining if exporting is financially viable. Many new exporters calculate their export price by the cost-plus method. In that calculation, the exporter starts with the domestic manufacturing cost and adds administration, research and development, overhead, freight forwarding, distributor margins, custom charges, and profit. The effect of this pricing approach may be that the export price escalates into an uncompetitive range. Although an export product may have the same ex-factory price as a domestic product, its final consumer price may be considerably higher once exporting costs have been included. Marginal cost pricing is a more competitive method of pricing a product for market entry. This method considers the direct out-of-pocket expenses of producing and selling products for export as a floor beneath which prices cannot be set without incurring a loss. For example, additional costs may occur because of product modification for the export market to accommodate different sizes, electrical systems, or labels. Costs may decrease, however, if the export products are stripped-down versions or made without increasing the fixed costs of domestic production. Thus, many costs that apply only to domestic production, such as domestic labeling, packaging, and advertising costs, are subtracted, as are costs such as research and development expenses if they would have been spent anyway for domestic production. Other costs should be assessed for domestic and export products according to how much benefit each product receives from such expenditures. Additional costs often associated with export sales include the following: fees for market research and credit checks, business travel expenses, international postage and telephone rates, translation costs, commissions, training charges, and other costs involving foreign representatives, consultant and freight forwarder fees, product modification and special packaging costs. After the actual cost of the export product has been calculated, you should formulate an approximate consumer price for the foreign market. For most consumer goods, per capita income is a good gauge of a market's ability to pay. Some products create such a strong demand that even low per capita income will not affect their selling price. Simplifying the product to reduce its selling price may be an answer for your company in markets with low per capita income. Your firm must also keep in mind that currency fluctuations may alter the affordability of its goods. Thus, pricing should try to accommodate wild changes in U.S. and foreign currencies. A relatively weak dollar makes the price of U.S. goods more competitive in many markets around the world, thereby enabling you to compete with domestic producers as well as with other foreign competitors whose production costs are suddenly reflected in their inflated domestic currencies. Your firm should also anticipate the kind of customers who will buy your product. If your firm's primary customers in a developing country are expatriates or are local people with high incomes, a higher price may be feasible even if the average per capita income is low. In the domestic market, few companies are free to set prices without carefully evaluating their competitors' pricing policies. This situation is true in exporting and is further complicated by the need to evaluate the competition prices in each potential export market. If there are many competitors within the foreign market, you may have little choice but to match the market price or even underprice the product or service in order to establish a market share. If the product or service is new to a particular foreign market, however, it may actually be possible to set a higher price than in the domestic market. In summary, here are the key points to remember when determining your product's price. Determine the objective in the foreign market. Compute the actual cost of the export product. Compute the final consumer price. Evaluate market demand and competition. Consider modifying the product to reduce the export price. Include non-market costs, such as tariffs and customs fees. Exclude cost elements that provide no benefit to the export function, such as domestic advertising.
Section 2. Quotes and pro forma invoices.
Many export transactions, particularly initial export transactions, begin with the receipt of an inquiry form abroad that is followed by a request for a quotation. A pro forma invoice is a quotation prepared in the format of an invoice. It is the preferred method in the exporting business. A quotation describes the product, states a price for it, sets the time of shipment, and specifies the terms of sale and terms of payment. Because the foreign buyer may not be familiar with the product, the description of the product in an overseas quotation usually must be more detailed than in a domestic quotation. The description should include the following 15 points: sellers' and buyers' names and addresses, buyer's reference number and date of inquiry, listing of requested products and a brief description, price of each item. It is advisable to indicate whether items are new or used and to quote the price in U.S. dollars to reduce foreign exchange risk. Appropriate total cubic volume and dimensions packed for export. appropriate gross and net shipping weight, trade discount, delivery point, terms of sale, terms of payment, insurance and shipping costs, validity period for quotation, total charges to be paid by customer, estimated shipping date from a U.S. port or airport, and currency of sale. Pro forma invoices are not used for payment purposes. In addition to the 15 items previously mentioned, a pro forma invoice should include two statements: one that certifies the pro forma invoice is true and correct, and another that indicates the country of origin of the goods. The invoice should be clearly marked pro forma invoice. Pro forma invoices are models that the buyer uses when applying for an import license, opening a letter of credit, or arranging for funds. In fact, it is a good practice to include a pro forma invoice with any international quotation, regardless of whether it has been requested. When final commercial invoices are being prepared before shipment, it is advisable to check with your local export assistance center for any special invoicing provisions that may be required by the importing country. If a specific price is agreed on or guaranteed by your company, the precise period during which the offer remains valid should be specified.
Section 3. Terms of Sale.
In any sales agreement, it is important to have a common understanding of the delivery terms because confusion over their meaning may result in a lost sale or a loss on a sale. Terms of sale define the obligations, risks, and costs of the buyer and seller involving the delivery of goods that make up the export transaction. The terms in international business transaction often sound similar to those used in domestic business, but they frequently have very different meanings. For this reason, the exporter must know and understand the terms before preparing a quotation or a pro forma invoice. The most commonly applied terms of sale in the global marketplace are the international commercial terms, or Incoterms. A complete list of these important terms and their definitions is provided in Incoterms 2010, a booklet issued by the International Chamber of Commerce. To purchase the booklet, visit the website below. Some of the more common terms used in chartering a vessel are as follows. Free in is a pricing term that indicates that the charterer of a vessel is responsible for the cost of loading goods onto the vessel. Free in and out is a pricing term that indicates that the charterer of the vessel is responsible for the cost of loading and unloading goods from the vessel. Free out is a pricing term that indicates that the charterer is responsible for the cost of unloading goods from the vessel. Following are a few of the more frequently used terms in international trade. CIF stands for cost, insurance, and freight to a named overseas port. The seller quotes a price for the goods, all transportation, and miscellaneous charges to the point of debargation from the vessel. CFR applies to cost and freight to a named overseas port. The seller quotes a price for the goods that includes the cost of transportation to the named point of debargation from the vessel. The buyer covers the cost of insurance. CPT, which stands for carriage paid to, and CIP, which stands for carriage and insurance paid to, apply to a named destination. These terms are used in place of CFR and CIF, respectively, for all modes of transportation, including intermodal. EXW, which stands for Ex Works, means from a named point of origin. The price quoted applies only at the point of origin. The seller agrees to place the goods at the buyer's disposal at the specified place within a fixed time period. All other obligations, risks, and costs beyond the named point of origin are the buyer's. FAS, which stands for Free Alongside Ship, refers to the seller's price quote for the goods, including the charge for delivery of the goods alongside a vessel at the named port of export. The seller handles the costs of wharfage, while the buyer is accountable for the costs of loading, ocean transportation, and insurance. It is the seller's responsibility to clear the goods for export. FAS, as the term implies, is used only for waterborne shipments. FCA, which stands for Free Carrier, refers to a named place within the country of origin of the shipment. This term defies the seller's responsibility for handing over the goods to a named carrier at the named shipping point. According to Incoterms 2000, the named shipping point may be the seller's premises. In that case, it is the seller's responsibility to clear the goods for export from the United States. The term may be used for any mode of transport. FOB, or free on board, refers to a named port of export in the country of origin of the shipment. The seller quotes the buyer a price that covers all costs up to and including the loading of goods aboard a vessel. As with other F terms, it is the seller's responsibility to clear the goods for export. Case study: Alignment Simple Solutions. It's not hard to find Tess Winningham and Gary Gann. Where else but the Birmingham track in Alabama? That's where Gary used to race in NASCAR in the early 1970s and early 1980s, and he still hangs out there. It was there that he first saw demand for a quicker, easier way to diagnose wear and tear on tires and suspension, so he built a prototype system in his garage. Inspired, Tess soon quit her business development job to help him market the product, and presto, the husband and wife team formed Alignment Simple Solutions in 2011. They successfully tested the first prototype at the Charlotte Motor Speedway in North Carolina during the Chump Car World Series of Racing. Tess explains, "In many parts of the world, people are keeping their vehicles longer, and the roads are often rough and the weather uneven, which means gradual wear and tear on suspension and alignment. Hobbyist do-it-yourselfers are our largest market, as well as people who run maintenance and alignment shops. We're also selling to a lot of hot rod enthusiasts." She also notes the company's product allows for better preventive maintenance at 7,500 miles. Potential alignment problems can be diagnosed early on, saving an average of 184 sets of tires for every 20,000 vehicles. Having established itself in the United States, the company made its first international sales in 2010, entering the Australian and Mexican markets via eBay. However, the Winninghams wanted to expand the company's international presence much further. One of their priorities was the European market, and they needed advice on creating a website and locating a potential distributor in Germany. The U.S. Commercial Service in Birmingham, Alabama, heard about Alignment Simple Solutions through the Alabama Alliance, which is a collaboration of the local U.S. Commercial Service, the State of Alabama Commerce Department, large city chambers of commerce through the state, and the Small Business Development Center. Tess says, "As a result of this overall assistance and new resources and contacts, we developed an enhanced export strategy and within a few months had made sales to more than 30 countries. We also established a foothold in Germany from where we made new sales to the United Kingdom, Finland, and Norway." Tess says Europe is a particularly good market because they love cars and keep them forever, and that consumer spending tends to be tighter in Europe than the United States, which bodes well for the company's product because it's so inexpensive. Alignment Simple Solutions now exports to more than 75 countries, including Panama, Costa Rica, Japan, South Korea, and Thailand, with exports accounting for more than 10% of total sales. Tess says, "Without risk, there is no reward. The majority of buyers are outside of the United States. Take that leap of faith and establish relationships with folks early on to mitigate risk." Tess says, "Know the consumer market you are selling to, as it may be different than in the United States. For example, in the United States, our major market consists of males aged 40 to 65 years who don't use a lot of social media. But in Japan, our target audience is much younger, and they use social media and enjoy modifying their cars." Tess says, "Consumers in many parts of Europe have high levels of disposable income, so there's lots of different opportunities for different industries. The population of Europe is less homogeneous than in the United States, and people don't carry as much debt. Made in the USA name brands also sell well, even in Germany." Tess also says, "Find out what overseas regulations might apply to your product. For example, since our product has electronics, the European Union regulations require that we have an end-user game plan for disposal at the end of product life cycle." Tess says, "Early on, talk with your local U.S. Commercial Service office and other contacts at the federal and state level. Take advantage of the many trade shows available through the U.S. Department of Commerce, including those in Germany. There's something for just about every business." get on board with trade missions and explore the possibility of grants. That's how I was able to participate in the trade mission to Germany, says Tess. A special thanks to the U.S. Commercial Service for the content of this module. This slide will take you to current news headlines on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You can advance through the remainder of the slides by clicking the play button. Global Edge offers a number of resources on this topic. The links will open in a new browser window. You can advance through the remainder of the module by clicking the play button.